It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
My fellow Americans. Tonight, I want to speak with you about our nation's unprecedented response to the coronavirus outbreak that started in China and is now spreading throughout the world. Today, the World Health Organization officially announced that this is a global pandemic. We have been in frequent contact with our allies, and we are marshaling the full power of the federal government and the private sector to protect the American people. This is the most aggressive and comprehensive effort to confront a foreign virus in modern history. I am confident that by counting and continuing to take these tough measures, we will significantly reduce the threat to our citizens, and we will ultimately and expeditiously defeat this virus.
That was President Trump last night speaking to the nation about coronavirus. Sandy Rios with you this morning. And, you know, I can't escape it. I have to talk about it, and you can't escape it. You have to listen to it ad nauseum 24/7 on radio news, everything being canceled. The world is indeed ending this morning, in case you had missed that message. Of course, I don't think the world is ending this morning, and that's probably going to be my theme. The World Health Organization, you know, has now declared this a pandemic. What does that mean? Pan means it's a word that means across. It includes a lot of things. It has nothing to do with how serious it is. It has nothing to do with how deadly it is. It has nothing to do with numbers. It has to do with the fact that it is pan. It is spread across the world. Pan American Airlines used to be an international airlines because it traveled and flew into various nations. I think it's interesting, in the World Health Organization statement on this, they basically said they declared it a pandemic because let me read their exact words. The World Health Organization has been assessing this outbreak around the clock, and we are deeply concerned both by the alarming levels of spread and severity and by the alarming levels of inaction. And so because the World Health Organization decided people were not acting enough, they've declared it a pandemic, which is a word that scares people. It's working. People are scared. They're more scared than they were yesterday, and they'll probably be more scared today after listening to it all day than they were this morning. Meanwhile, the president took a very sober, you heard how sober he was last night. You know, can you imagine, just as an aside, how exhausted he must be? You know, you just wonder how, you know, day after day grinding away at this, and I think probably the president and the vice president, who I think are doing, personally, I think they're doing everything they can. I think they're doing more than I would have them do. But they have to respond to this, because if they don't step up to the plate and sort of deliver this demanded for response, maybe overkill, then, you know, they will be trounced by the leftist media. They're being trounced anyway. And so they are taking some important steps. Last night, the president has banned travel from Europe for 30 days. That doesn't include Americans or the children of Americans. It doesn't include the transport of like goods and services, or goods, I should say. But it is a 30-day ban on travel because they're finding out that Europe is now where it's breaking out the most. Of course, Italy has shut down. They're closing everything except grocery stores, and I forgot what else. All the monuments, there's no travel, nothing, no events, nothing. Italy is just completely shut down. My understanding of why Italy's taking such a hit on the coronavirus is that they, in the last few years, have been deeply involved with the Chinese. There are lots of Chinese workers in the country. China, you know, has pretty much across the globe tried to insert their influence, whether it's South America or in the United States of America itself. But Italy has been especially vulnerable to that, or accepting of it, you could say. Italians are going to China like crazy on vacations, and so that would explain. Plus, Italy, I'm sorry, I love Italians. A lot of Italians are my friends, but they're not necessarily, you know, the cleanest people in the world when it comes to sanitation. And so these countries, one of the things I read this morning from an expert on health, I can't give his qualifications because I'm not even sure I had just had him recommended to me as one of the nation's leading experts. I think he's out of Vanderbilt. And he said basically how soap absolutely annihilates the coronavirus. And it talks about, gives stats about, you know, just wash your hands. And better than hand sanitizer, soap is what kills the virus. It will annihilate coronavirus. And so in some countries, people still are not washing. And that would explain, you know, why they are, you know, more. And that would explain to me why Washington State, California, and I think New York are some of the most vulnerable areas in this country. Washington, for sure, that's where most of the 35 that have died of this are from. I think 29, at least 29 are from Washington, from that nursing home facility. So here we are. So the bottom line is soap. Soap. If you have some soap, it can annihilate the coronavirus. I would say, you know, how many of you know someone who has the coronavirus? How many of you know someone, you know, that the flu, the common cold, there are illnesses spread all the time by each of us. We sneeze. As I said, we are incubators of disease at all times, especially our grandchildren. So I guess the whole point is we should just all isolate, maybe wear those bubble boy suits and steer clear of each other all the time so that we can avoid illness of any kind, because heaven forbid we should get sick on any level. By the way, just to put this in perspective, China is a country of 1.4 billion people. About 81,000 people in China have contracted this virus. Just over 3,000 have died from it. Now, that's not nothing, but just to put this in perspective, that is 0.0002% of the population of China. Could I also say that as of yesterday, 70% of those who were diagnosed with the virus, coronavirus in China, have recovered already. And people are reporting that China seems to have, you know, now it's reducing the number of cases are falling. The contagion has been contained. And that's the case in many, many countries. We are not at our peak yet here in this country. But we will be shortly. And by the way, just to get perspective on the United States, the death toll in the United States is point of coronavirus, okay, is 31 out of 330 million. So that equates to 0.0000009% of our population have died of coronavirus. So look out. I mean, it is the end of the world and everything's being canceled. I'll give you an idea. I was just reading this this morning. Amazing, okay? So let's see. There's the halt in air travel from the U.S. to the U.S. from Europe, excluding, by the way, flights from Britain and carrying cargo. All right, so actor Tom Hanks and his wife Rita are in Australia, and they've been tested positive for the virus. NBA has announced it's suspending its basketball season. After a Utah Jazz, one player tested positive. So now no one can come to the tournament. Around 11 o'clock last night, Andrew Cuomo postponed the New York City's St. Patrick's Day parade. Let's see what else. This article, I'm reading this from Fox, and the word that I've seen used several times, as the nation grappled with a problem for which no clear ending was immediately in sight. We are grappling with this problem, which has killed 0.000009% of us. Anyway, conventions, conferences, concerts, television shows with audiences, you know, Democratic debates, no one can come. March Madness, college basketball games will only be played with essential staff and limited family attendance. Public tours to the White House, the U.S. Capitol. Okay, so 110 nations have reported at least one case, at least one. So that makes it the pandemic, because 110 nations have reported at least one case. So of 126 cases that have been reported worldwide, including 68,000 recoveries, the global death toll has Thursday is more than 4,600. Most of those, of course, are in China, where it started. So that's kind of some of the figures on this. I have a few other things to tell you. Let's see. Certainly the travel ban that the president initiated early on from China was a tremendous help because China's where it's been hit the worst. There's no question about that. So naturally, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer don't think the president is doing enough. He never does do enough. In fact, he's responsible for this virus, according to them. According to the New York Times, it is the Trump virus. But this is what Pelosi and Schumer had to say. We have a public health crisis in this country, and the best way to help keep the American people safe and ensure their economic security is for the president to focus on fighting the spread of the coronavirus itself. Alarmingly, the president did not say how the administration will address the lack of coronavirus testing kits throughout the United States. So, yeah, we don't have testing kits. I've seen a lot of complaints about that online. Now, I'm just asking, you think, honestly, if you don't have any symptoms and you just want to know, you know, you just want to know kind of like you want to know what your DNA is or, you know, maybe what propensity to illness you have and you can't get the test, that's really the thing that's upsetting you. I mean, even if you have the flu, which I did have last week, even if you have the flu, so is it helpful to have them tell you have the flu? I guess it is, and some peace of mind. I mean, they are not able to give you antibiotics. They gave me flu medication. I'm not sure it helped. I just had to take care of myself and just ride the waves, as my mother would say. But if you got tested, that would make a difference, right? Because there is no vaccine. There's nothing right now. There are so many different strands of illness. There's just not a cure for every illness. There's not a pill that you can take for every illness, and there's not a pill for coronavirus yet. I'm not objecting to that. I'm just saying, why the hysteria about not being able to be tested? So I guess if you don't want to be quarantined, that would be a reason. I can see that. All right, so now, of course, never ones to waste a good crisis. Everybody in Washington right now, even as I speak, when they gavel out, they'll probably go in session at 10 o'clock this morning. They're trying to spend as much money as they can to prove to you how concerned they are about this virus. I heard yesterday in meetings that they're actually talking about giving short-term mortgage loans to people that are affected with coronavirus. That now they're talking about the payroll tax deduction. The president's talking about that. And some people are saying, don't do that, Mr. President. That's a long-term thing. This is going to be a short-term problem. You know, don't try to institute entire, which is what the Democrats now are doing, too. They're just tacking on as many things as they can. They want to do whole social programs based on this pandemic virus known as coronavirus. In fact, I'll read a statement from Rick Manning of Americans for Limited Government. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are determined not to let the coronavirus panic go to waste, proposing knee-jerk, economically transformative spending plans that neither meet the needs of the crisis nor our nation's limited government priorities. Pelosi and Schumer know that once government giveaways are put into place, they rarely, if ever, are rescinded. President Trump should reject these blatant attempts to leverage fear into a permanent expansion of the size and scope of government. I will tell you something that you won't hear anywhere else. I'll just tell you. My understanding is that in the Congress, they spent your tax dollars to buy 10,000 laptops to give to congressmen and their staffers so they can all go home and do their work from home because, you see, it's so dangerous. The coronavirus, it's so dangerous that they are just, they had to spend your tax dollars. And the congressmen just can't, you know, work right now. It's just too dangerous for them. So they're going to pass a bill today spending billions of your dollars to establish new social welfare programs and buy themselves laptops so they can go home and work from work. For those of you that if you have been affected by it or your family members, I'm sorry that you're sick, but come on. This is just so overblown. It is outrageous. And yet here we are. I'm going to open the phone lines. The phone line is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Every day, babies in their mother's wombs are fighting for life. with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today we pray for David Vela, Director of the National Park Service. Mr. Vela leads the more than 20,000 National Park Service employees who protect and preserve America's national parks. Genesis 1 verses 1 and 2 reminds us that the wonders of the earth are the Lord's creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask for guidance for David Vela as he leads the National Park Service. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
What do you see for the next generation? Do you see a prospering nation? Do you see hope? The future is ours to create, and Liberty University is driven to train positive influencers for our country and our culture. Our mission is to guide students toward leadership as servants of the people, defenders of freedom, and champions of truth. Discover how you can impact the next generation of champions for Christ by texting GIVE to 839-858.
There's a big controversy in the small town of Marshall, Minnesota. School administrators recently hoisted a gay pride flag in the middle school cafeteria, alongside the American flag and a number of international flags. But when a student asked to raise a Don't Tread on Me flag, the school said no. Parents also suggested a flag featuring a traditional family, but that too was rejected. Dozens of parents attended a recent school board meeting to demand to know why the rainbow flag was being given preferential treatment. Critics of the flag say it's a lifestyle banner, a characterization that brought a strong rebuke from the LGBT community. The implication being the LGBT movement is a physical place. And if that's true, I sure would appreciate somebody telling me the geographic location of the nation known as LGBT land. Be sure to check out my all-new Toddcast podcast, a free download at toddstarnes.com.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
For what reason is there not to drop out?
Let's shut this puppy down and let's move on and worry about November.
I think it is time for us to shut this primary down. It's time for us to cancel the rest of these debates.
All righty then. That was James Carville and then James Clyburn. Of course, they want everyone to drop out. Just stop running for president and let Joe Biden have this. And we don't need any more debates. We don't need any of that stuff. Let's just give him all the delegates and it's done with. It's unbelievable, really, what they're advocating. And Bernie Sanders is not having it. He made a statement yesterday saying he's moving ahead with the campaign despite his primary losses. And he's going to be there Sunday night for that debate in Arizona. By the way, the Biden campaign has asked, look, I shouldn't say that. I don't know who asked for it. But for whatever reason, now they're going to sit down for these debates. They're not going to be standing as would be normally the case at a podium. So they're going to be sitting down, facing off with each other on Sunday night, and Bernie is not stepping down. That's interesting because next Tuesday are some very important primaries. And let me just say Illinois, Florida, Arizona. So there are other states also. But just make sure that you make a mental note of that. In Illinois, by the way, there are two really there are candidates there that the Freedom Caucus is excited about, and their Freedom Fund, which is their PAC, are supporting them. And that's Jeannie Ives in District 6, and there's a girl downstate. Her name escapes me in this moment, but they're very strong conservatives in Illinois, and the Freedom Caucus thinks that they both have a good chance of winning. And so that's just Illinois. That's the one I know about. And you'll need to pay attention again to what's happening in your own state and who you need to support there. And go to, by the way, our voter guide, if you go to ivoterguide.net, is that right, you guys? ivoterguide.com, you can get some good analysis of where these candidates around the country stand on the various issues. ivoterguide.com. Oh, and I meant to say this to you yesterday because I felt so badly about this, honestly. I mentioned when I was really pressing you to pay attention to the primaries and get involved in the other elections down ballot, I emphasized John James, who's running in Michigan for Senate against Gary Peters, and I misspoke about something because I thought that the Michigan primary this past Tuesday was also the down ballot races, and I was wrong about that. I wondered why I couldn't find anything. I did a lot of asking about John James's race and others around the country, and for whatever reason, that just fell through the cracks, and no one ever really, I told you, every state is different. Sometimes they separate the primaries, and sometimes they don't. The dates are all different, and so the primary for the Senate race in Michigan is, I believe, August 3rd. It's in August. It was not this past Tuesday, so I apologize. I apologize for giving. At least I had you go out early and not late. But I'm sorry for that because I really do try to make sure I give you good information. Okay, so on the race, you know what? Actually, I'm not going to go to that right now. I'm going to go to the phones because I know you have a lot to say. I've certainly put out a lot about the coronavirus and also the election. So let's just take some time to talk this morning. 888-589-8840 is the number, and let's go to Tanya in North Carolina. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good. Okay, so what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I was listening to your commentary about Corona, and I am in 100% agreement with you. I do believe that it has blown way out of proportion. The main reason I called is because I wanted to just kind of tell you and I guess the viewers, I work in a small assisted living. We are owned by a larger corporation, so there's a lot of the assisted living owned by the same corporation. But in my assisted living, we have not even had one case of flu this year, not even one.
Wow.
The coronavirus precautions that we're taking are not outrageous. I've heard of some, not ours, that are actually taking temperatures as folks walk in the door. But we are not doing that. We're just, you know, having people sign in, everybody, every person, so that if we do get a sickness, we can track it if we need to. That's the biggest thing we're doing right now. So my precaution for everybody is work smart. Just be smart. Do what you should be doing anyway, which is washing your hands, covering your face when you cough and sneeze, and carry on with your day. My daughter is in college at one of our state universities, and they've canceled classes.
Yes.
They're going total online.
I know.
And
I know.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. You know, Tanya, you remind me, my husband has a good friend who I feel like is a friend of mine. I've actually not met her, but I'm not going to give the details because it's very personal. Let's just say that she is in a nursing home and has been for years. She had a stroke when she was very young. It's just the saddest thing. And she was a good friend of his. And she recently had a terrible accident. This is complicated. But they dropped her, and it broke a lot of her body. It was just horrendous. And she has been in terrible shape in the last few weeks, and we've been very concerned about her. But now the nursing home has shut down everything, no visitors, nothing. And she is in it's a very hard time for her emotionally, very depressed, you know, you can imagine. And so I'm not saying look, I understand that elderly and certainly the infirm are more susceptible and they do need to be taken care of. But you wonder sometimes, you know, the wisdom of shutting out all visitors when a person is just so forlorn, I guess is the best word I can characterize it, about the circumstances, and rightfully so, and can't have any visitors because of this at this very crucial time in her life. It just seems, I don't know what you'd think about that as a healthcare worker who works with people who are really, you know, physically not strong. What do you think about that, Tanya?
You know, we are more of an assisted living. However, we do have some residents in our facility that are not strong, that we do have a couple who are in the bed 90% of the time. And we also have some of our residents who don't get very many visitors. And it's hard not to fall in love with them. You fall in love with all of them.
Yeah.
But those who are more susceptible to, like your friend, to breaks or even skin breakdown or sickness, you do become more attached to them and the ones that don't get many visitors. So by them cutting completely,
yep,
you know, visitors from that, I think that, like I said before, I think they could work that a little smarter.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to minimize what my company has done because they have been so on top of this.
Yeah.
And I commend them. I do.
Yeah.
But I think they are trying to be and work smarter.
Yeah.
I
guess I would say, I'm trying to cut you. I'm sorry I'm rushing you now because I need to move on. But I think there are other ways of killing people. That's for sure. And broken hearts and sadness and loneliness and isolation is just another thing to consider. But I'm not a professional in that field. But Tanya, thank you. And thanks for your kind service. My daughter needed full care 4 years of her life. And I will never in this life and in the next forget the kindness of people who cared for her through the years when I can no longer care for her. It's just amazing. So I know the kind of person you are, Tanya, and I thank God for you. So thank you. All right, let's go to Lynn in Arkansas. Good morning, Lynn.
Hi. I wanted to say about Italy that a doctor my daughter knows said that they are turning away the older people. So they're not like in socialized medicine, how that's done.
Yes.
Because, you know, they give
priority. They don't want to waste their resources on old people. So you're saying in their medical, whatever medical care they have, they're not treating older folk who are the most likely to die from this?
Yes, that's what he said, this doctor.
Are you speaking of on coronavirus, Lynn, or just in general? Is this a general statement about Italy turning away?
Coronavirus.
Okay.
And I don't know about in general, but I know I've heard that about socialized medicine, that if you have a certain, you know, condition that they'll say, I'm sorry, you know, that the younger people have priority.
Oh, yeah. That's proven in Britain and in Canada. Those are the two countries I know for sure of where that happens. Yeah, and Netherlands,
comment,
too. Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
A quick comment about the nursing home issue, that one in Washington, I mean, who knows what some nursing homes, not all, but some have very inferior food. And, you know, it can make the immune system more susceptible to sickness.
Huh,
and,
interesting.
So you never know.
Yeah, it is really interesting that I think we do need to restate. There is one home in Washington State where I think 26 at least of the cases of death in this country have taken place there. Most of them, that's for sure. And you do wonder what's going on there, you know, and also who their clientele is, what's happening there. Because if it were so, if it were such a problem among the elderly, why isn't there an outbreak in nursing homes everywhere around the country? Why just that one? I don't know. It just makes you wonder. Lynn, thanks. I appreciate your comments this morning. Let's go to Marcy in Illinois. Good morning, Marcy.
Yes, good morning, Sandy. It's a great to hear you this morning. I always enjoy it.
Thank you.
I'm working right now as a healthcare provider. I semi-retired and now I went back into it, and I'm working in a little hospital in the very southern part of Illinois. But one of the things, because I've been in healthcare for over 40 years now, one of the things I'm noticing is the decline in our culture. How many times do you go to the mall and you go into the bathroom and you wash your hands and go out and you see how many people not even wash their hands? They just leave. And, you know, we are not practicing good things ourselves. So we're all worried about the coronavirus. Well, over 20,000 people are dying with the regular flu because people don't want to get shots. They've got all of this, you know, they've got all this bad propaganda about taking care of yourself, actually, with the healthcare system. But washing the hands, nobody knows how to wash their hands anymore. They don't wash them long enough. They get them a little bit wet, and then they go out and they start touching things. You know, we do a lot of things. E. coli is one of the biggest things right now, and there's a study out even about the kiosk at fast foods. There is so much E. coli on those things. So I don't even check out at Walmart for myself anymore. I go through and let them, but still you've got to hit, you know, when you put your credit card in, you've got to hit a few buttons there. So, you know, it's just people are just not clean.
Yeah, and I want to say I think you're right. Yes, without being specific, I've had experiences with people that I know who are younger who just don't remember how horrible illness was, when it was really a problem, when it really was a serious problem, and whole, you know, your neighbors and friends died, like polio virus, or, you know, you people that you knew, this was a, it was an outbreak, and people, younger people have forgotten because they've always been healthy and they have an antibiotic or a treatment or a medicine for everything. And people forget that in past times and in other lands and in this one too, you could get the measles and die. You could get chicken pox and die. And so they aren't careful with germs. They aren't. The things that we discovered, you know, that scientists discovered at the turn of, what, the early 19th century, or the late 19th century, about health and cleanliness and germs and hot water and all of that, they've forgotten that. They think it doesn't matter because they've never really been sick and they've never seen people around them die from passing on these diseases. And so, Marcy, it is time to retrain. That's for sure, and I appreciate that reminder. I want to also say one thing. This is kind of important, and I meant to tell you a few minutes ago. There are some good things happening as a result of this. I'll mention one. It is absolutely true that China has a chokehold on our drug production. It's antibiotics. It's products with you know, the Tylenol type products. Whatever that drug is called, which escapes my mind in the moment. But they are the primary, they have a lot of pain medications. They supply more than 90% of U.S. antibiotics, vitamin C, ibuprofen. That's what I was, acetaminophen. That's the Tylenol drug. Hydrocortisone. And this happened, like, let me just say, the last American plant to make key ingredients for penicillin closed its doors in 2004. Now, that is during the Bush years, and the George Herbert Walker Bush and his son both were big. They really pushed global trade and China, and that's when our work in China and exporting all kinds of things, including our factories, goods and services, that's when it just went into its apex. And so we lost, you know, our manufacturing, and that goes for, like, face masks, and other things like that. China produces almost all, I don't know the percentage in this moment, but huge amounts of what we actually use. Well, let me just say that because of this, like, shock to our nervous system, and because of the warnings of many, many people that if we are ever get in real trouble, China's not our friend. We will be cut off from our drug supply. The president is trying to have these companies bring their production back home, including electronics, steel, toys, all the other things that we get, too. Businesses are slow to respond right now, but the president is getting ready to issue an executive order to try to make that go forward. I know that they are already trying to build plants here to start manufacturing drugs. So that's a good thing, I think, a very likely good thing that's going to be coming from this. This is a crisis in a different way, a crisis of confidence. It's not a crisis in terms of a medical or a disease outbreak. It's just not that big in scale. It just isn't. I'll be right back. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning.
Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. According to the most recent reports provided by the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, researchers looked at fertility rates for women of all age groups and ethnicities and found the nationwide rate was 16% lower than what is needed for a population to replace itself. There has been much discussion about the demographic winter in various European countries. Well, that demographic winter has reached the United States. The first command God gave mankind in Scripture was be fruitful. But man has the penchant to fancy his own ways over God's. Rejecting God's ways always carries severe consequences.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The world is making a mad, desperate, dangerous, and devilish rush toward making transgenderism the preferred option for sexually confused teenagers. In the process, teens are given puberty blockers that they're told are reversible. Unfortunately, that is blatantly false. Endocrinologist Dr. William Malone says puberty blockers interfere with normal bone density development as well as brain development and increase rather than cure gender dysphoria. One drug called Lupron actually causes the chemical castration of the teens who take it and is linked to a number of deaths. But 85% of teens naturally outgrow gender dysphoria by the time they're adults. God is clear that He made us male and female, and He's not confused at all about which is which, and we shouldn't be confused either.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. President Trump addressed the nation last night with an update about the state of the Wuhan flu and his administration's various initiatives aimed at minimizing its public health and economic impact in this country. It was a sober speech, clearly aimed at striking a difficult balance between conveying bad news, notably the pandemic spread to continental Europe and therefore the need to suspend most air travel from there, with a mix of calming perspective and resolve. Mr. Trump announced several initiatives aimed at mitigating the hardships being experienced by growing numbers of Americans and their businesses as a result of quarantines, social distancing, and other disruptions. Of these, the most promising and least susceptible to abuse or conversion into some sort of new, permanent, and unaffordable entitlement is a payroll tax cut or tax holiday. Let's pray such transpartisan steps actually help. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
They run concentration camps. They force the abortion of millions of babies. They brutally crack down on protesters. They hack America's networks. They have stolen millions of our jobs. China is the greatest threat to America's security and our values. Career politician Joe Biden is weak on China.
China is going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. They're not bad folks, but guess what?
They're not a competition for us.
When Joe Biden was vice president, his son got a sweetheart $1.5 billion deal from the Bank of China. When Joe Biden was senator, he voted to give China special trade status that devastated American workers. Biden is weak on China and wrong for America. We need to stand up to China and protect American jobs and our national security. Senator Cotton is standing with President Trump to take on China and keep America great.
I'm Tom Cotton, and I approve this message.
Interesting. Senator Tom Cotton is running ads about this in various states starting today. And that was the ad. And he's has a companion piece about Joe Biden and China. It's called Joe Biden is China's Choice for President. He says, despite the occasional box-checking, wishy-washy comment-slapping Beijing on the wrist for the worst of its abuses, the reality is that the former vice president's support of the People's Republic of China is deep and long-standing. In the critical fight over whether to grant most favored nation trade status and World Trade Organization membership to China in the 90s, a fight in which, again, many of his party's leaders in Congress were on the right side, Biden carefully shepherded China through the process from his powerful perch as a senior Democrat on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Wherever a break might have been applied by placing human rights or labor conditions on most favored nation status, for example, Biden voted the measures down and lobbied other senators for Beijing. Unfortunately, China and Biden got their way, and American workers are still suffering from it. He goes on, he has a lot to say about this. He says, as the Chinese Communist Party gains strength and Xi Jinping seized absolute power, Biden continued to push for closer ties and even more trade. As for American workers, in February 2012, in friendly remarks with Xi standing next to him, Biden praised Beijing as a new partner that would help to meet global challenges and said Americans welcome this competition, and went on and on and on. And then so Tom Cotton says, while warmer ties with China were devastating American workers and threatening our national security, they have been very good for the Biden family. And that's as far as I'm going to read on that. But we'll put that article on our Facebook page, Joe Biden is China's Choice for President. Also yesterday, Peter Schweiker came out with a new 2 days ago, and I just never got to it, about he details how the Biden family has enriched themselves. And I believe it was specifically in that article through China as well. But Joe's sister, his brother, his son, it's pretty amazing and pretty damning. Find that article too, and we'll put that on our Facebook page as well. All right, I want to tell you specifically that the primaries next week are in Arizona, Florida, Illinois, and Ohio. So just so you know, and you can remember that. And one last thing about Biden before I get back to the phones. Yesterday, let's see, six days ago. Vice President Biden, former, unveiled his LGBT plus equality plan. Let's see. As President Biden will stand with the LGBTQ plus community to ensure America finally lives up to the promise on which it was founded, equality for all. He will provide the moral leadership to champion equal rights for LGBTQ plus people, fight to ensure our laws and institutions protect and enforce their rights, and advance LGBTQ plus equality globally. The top priority of this plan is the so-called Equality Act, which I've told you about many times. It's a horrendous act. It will add sex, sexual orientation, gender identity to the 1964 Civil Rights Act, so that being black is the same as being, you know, confused about your gender. And it has a lot more provisions than that, but that's horrendous. And I've told you that he's not moderate. He is not moderate. We'll put that also on our Facebook page. Biden unveils ominous LGBTQ plus equality plan, and it's in LifeSight so that you can refer to it. All right, back to the phones. Let's go to, let's see now. We should go to Tommy in Ohio. Let's talk to Tommy, because I just talked about that ad running in Ohio today from Tom Cotton, and also about their primary next Tuesday. So let's see what's on Tommy's mind. Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning, Sandy. I listen to you every morning. I love your show.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Tommy.
I just wanted to let everybody know across the country that I had to go to the doctor down here in Chillicothe, Ohio. And I had a neck injury, and I wanted to get an X-ray done. But while I was at the doctor, the nurse asked me if I wanted a flu shot. And I said, well, yeah, might as well, because I'm around my grandsons a lot. And, you know, the very next day after that flu shot, I was sick for almost a month. And everybody I come in contact with got sick. My grandsons and everybody, wow. Even my ex-wife got sick. But I was wondering where that flu shot come from. Did China make that? Because did they give me the coronavirus? And when I found out they were making my drugs that I have to take every day, that kind of messes me up. I mean, we grow our own food. We can't make our own medicine. What's going on in this country? It's socialism is the virus that's going on in this country. Socialism and liars. And the Democratic Party is full of them. Yeah. So,
well, Tommy,
get out there and vote.
I think that whole, I should not have talked over you. You said get out there and vote. And so I second that. Are you, let me ask you quickly before I let you go, is everybody recovered? Your kids, your grandkids, and all of that?
Yes, as far as I know. But the kids have been carrying along this flu all season. They've had it since. I got this shot like at the 1st of November, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
And I give it to them like around Christmas time, and it was like, oh, no. They've kind of carried it for 2 months.
Yeah. Well, you know that there's a lot of strains of flu, tons of them. And the shots that they give you, assuming it's a decent shot, it only affects certain strains. It won't take care of every strain of flu. So it's kind of a misleading to think that a flu shot is going to stop that. But, Tommy, that really does make you wonder, doesn't it? Hey, listen, thanks. I'm glad you're better. And I appreciate you telling us that story. Very interesting. And, you know, makes it seem even more crucial and imperative that we now get our drug production back home. For heaven's sake, China is the greatest threat to us on the globe. There was a time when I surely didn't really, I didn't think so. Like, I've been to China so many times. It was before the last regime came into power, which has been cracking down on Christians. And it was kind of a time where Chinese were going into free trade, the gospel was like growing like crazy there, which I still think it is, and just didn't have a sense that it was going to be an enemy of ours, and yet it has become that in terms of they're building up their military, trying to hurt us, trying to infiltrate here, to steal all of our secrets, to steal our technology. They're not our friends. And so to let them, you know, develop our medicine so that 70% of our antibiotics are produced there, it's just, it really is unconscionable. All right, so let's go to Christina in Michigan. Good morning, Christina.
Hi.
Good morning. What's on your mind, Christina?
Hi, I have a PhD in molecular biology, and I've been following this coronavirus since January, and I was pretty optimistic that there were a lot of reasons it wouldn't end up here and that it would be mild, but I think there's some things I'd like to clarify about it.
Okay, I'm all ears.
One is that right now they're shutting everything down because they don't want what happened in Italy to happen here. And why would that happen? Well, one thing is this virus is transmissible before you have any symptoms. And they found about the day that you have symptoms, like maybe you're going to have a fever that night. Well, earlier that day you have like huge amounts of viral load, much, much higher than they see with the average flu. And so you're very, very communicable. And so the other thing is that these young people who get it are often asymptomatic, and they are spreading it without knowing it. And we won't see that they're spreading it until they go home and give it to mom or dad or grandpa, and they end up in the hospital. Unfortunately, in the U.S., we've been way behind the curve on testing. And so they only test if you're in the hospital dying of pneumonia, and then they'll go check the people in your household who, if they're young, may have been spreading it. So what they're concerned about is we've got a lot of people who don't know they have it spreading it, and we're not going to see it until it really explodes in this elderly population.
Oh, okay, Christina, let me stop you for a second. No, mark your place there. But I don't quite understand. Honestly, I don't. Why?
Well, this has...
You can't quarantine right now, everyone. How are you going to test the entire world in case on the outside chance that they've come across someone? You know better than I, because you've studied this,
that you
and I carry germs all the time. Whether it's a cold or an infection or whatever. I mean, I really don't see, short of like the bubble boy suit, how we're going to prevent the transmission of diseases of all kinds between each other, and especially our grandchildren.
I would say they've done this in South Korea. So we can either choose to be Italy or South Korea. In South Korea, they were up and running on their testing. The tests that we have right now are really slow, but we're starting to test. And so what they're doing in South Korea, they have drive-in testing where the person stays in their car and they're tested. And then you're notified if there's a case in your area. What this allows is people in that area, if there's no coronavirus, to keep going to work, to keep going to school, to keep generating.
I can see that. I can see the flip side. Yes, I can see that.
And then what you do is, if once somebody has it, let's say they have flu-like symptoms, then you go and you test their whole family. Like maybe they're 50, like I am, and they've got a teenage son, you know. And then you test him, and then you quarantine that teenage son so he doesn't give it. Because my son would go and give it to everybody at his school, and then they would go home. And then a week and a half later, you would see all of their parents and the elderly that they've been exposed to getting very ill.
Okay.
This has a 1% to 7% mortality rate. Italy's at 7% right now.
Christina, let me ask you just a real practical question. How many people do you know that have coronavirus?
The problem is, we don't know. Now, there's no...
No, but do you know anybody that's been tested positive in your world or in your town? Or is there someone around you?
That's the whole point. If we allow this to go through the population like the flu, which 34 million people get a year... Mm-hmm. 1.7 million people will die if it's like Italy. If it's like Korea, where we limit it, it will be like 300,000. If we shut it down completely, it will be much less than that.
Yeah, but that's okay. I can go with that. And as a scientist, I can understand why you see the stats. But there's a point at which common sense dictates that what are we going to do every time, every flu season? Are we going to close every school, shut down all?
25 times more deadly than
Well, I hear different. Now, I hear conflicting numbers on that.
Because there's going to be different strains, and different countries are dealing with it differently. And so some, you know, I'm hoping it will be milder, but we are not going to know until people have it. And the concern is that because people have been in the hospital on respirators for weeks, if we allow it to go too far, it will completely overwhelm our healthcare system. And that's what they're seeing in Italy.
Oh,
that's what they saw in China.
Oh, I can see why that's possible. But I think I just think, Christina, that there's a point at which common sense dictate that you don't shut down an entire planet based on something that, to me, is not, I'm sorry, I just don't see it in scope and size. Anything like the bubonic plague or the Spanish flu or, you know, Italy, as I said to you before, they don't have the same, Italy does not have the same cleanliness standards as this country used to have. I think I'm agreeing with a caller earlier who said we are really losing our standards on that, but we still have higher standards than most of the world. That's got to contribute in some way.
Some contributing factors, but what I think that we really need to focus on is really good testing and isolating those so the rest of the economy can go on. And if we get on top of this, I would like to see not shutting down things, because we know who has it. We isolate them, and then everybody else goes to work.
Yeah, well, that makes sense to me. Christina, thanks a lot. I appreciate your input. I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to all of you. Let's run the clock back and just take more calls, but I can't do that. Listen, have a wonderful evening, and take all of this in mind, and you bring your own wisdom to bear on this, and maybe you have a different viewpoint, but I stand by the fact that I think this is way overblown and being used for a bad purpose. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.